Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 says this, "But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I hope you had a great weekend. Yesterday, Sunday, was the first Sunday of the new year, and we had a great time at First Baptist Texarkana. I talked to the church about our theme. You remember I had shared last week about it's good to have a word for your life. It's good to have a word for the church, kind of a theme for the church. Last year, we had Standing in the Gap. And I had encouraged the church to pray for our land, that God wouldn't bring destruction. Ezekiel 22, the Lord says, "I looked for a man among them who would stand in the gap for the land, that I would not destroy it, that I should not destroy it." And he said, "I found no one." So we were encouraging ourselves as a church to really pray for America, that God would open blind eyes to truth. Well, our word for this year is Ephesians 4:15, the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into all aspects into Christ, who is all aspects into the head, who is Christ. And so we talked about that yesterday. My message was titled, "The Truth in a World of Lies." And, you know, let's face it, we do live today in a world of lies. Evil men and imposters do go from bad to worse, and we're seeing that before our very eyes. They are deceiving, and they're being deceived. So you have people that will say, they'll tell lies, and they know they're telling lies. And then others are just repeating the lies. They're not deceivers as much as they're just deceived. And so the cult leader is a deceiver, and those in the cult are deceived. They're believing the lies. But, you know, I was thinking about how our world is just swimming in lies. I mean, you turn on the news and you can't believe what you hear, because they don't just report the news, they try and spin the news. You remember the no spin zone that was on Fox News for a long time. Bill O'Reilly had the no spin zone, which it's me. He was just saying, "Hey, I'm not gonna try and spin this one way or the other. I'm gonna tell you what is going on. I'm gonna give you the facts." But with mainstream media today, you have to be very, very careful, because what you hear used to be, you know, 40, 50 years ago, we'd say, okay, that's coming from Walter Cronkite. That might be a little bit tinged to the liberal side, but mostly they were reporting news. They don't report news anymore. They make news, and they take facts and spin them in such a way to deceive you and to deceive me. I ran across this story. I shared it with the church yesterday. It says this, "To please his father, a freshman went out for track. He had no athletic ability, though the father had been a good miler in his day. So his first race was a two-man race in which he ran against the school miler, the top guy in the school. And of course, he was badly beaten. But he didn't want to disappoint his father, so that night, as he was talking to his dad, he said, 'Dad, you'll be happy to know that I ran against Bill Williams today. He is the best miler in school. He came in next to last, while I came in second.'" Well, is that true? Yes. Is that deception? Of course. So that's what we have in the reporting of the news. They'll take things. They don't necessarily just out and out utter a falsehood, but they will take the information and spin it in such a way to deceive. I remember Adrian Rogers used to say, you know, you can lie with the arching of your eyebrows, because when you say something with the intent to deceive, you are lying. And we have lies that are just spreading all over in all aspects of life. You know, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, we used to think that they were going to give us the straight scoop on what's going on with viruses and bacteria and that kind of thing. But when COVID hit, what did they do? They became an arm of the left, and they just started to deceive people. They were centers for deception control, not centers for disease control. Big Pharma, those people have, in my opinion, have given themselves over to the love of money. Whoever's pulling the strings there, it's not we want to produce a drug that's going to really help people, but what it is we want to produce a drug that's going to make a lot of money. And so that becomes the emphasis, and all that went on with the COVID vaccine, and as one person said, you know, nothing says transparency and honesty quite like we're going to seal up the records for 75 years. You can't sue us, but let me put this drug in your arm and we'll tell you all the great things about it. It's 95% effective, and then it's 92% effective, then it's 88% effective, and then it's 80% and 75% and 60%. It just kept going down, 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 down. Well, all of us know that you get the COVID vaccine, you get the second vaccine, you get the boosters, and you still get COVID. So it's not effective at all. The two things about any kind of drug, is it safe, is it effective? And the COVID vaccine gets a big zero on both of those, and I would not put that in my arm. But we get lied to by Big Pharma. We get lied to by the news media. We get lied to by the American Medical Association. They lie about when life begins. They don't want to say what is obvious, that life begins at conception. If life doesn't begin at conception, where does it begin? When does it begin? Obviously, it begins at conception, and that's what is the starting point for life. So, if you abort an unborn baby, you can call it a fetus if you'd like, but that's a baby. When you abort that baby, you are ending a life, because life begins at conception, and ending an innocent life is what we call murder. Murder. Yeah, but they don't want to weigh in on that. They don't want to weigh in on the obvious about transgenderism, that is a sickness in somebody's mind. That is not truth. That is not fixed in reality. And science is very, very clear, as we have shared numerous times on this program. Your chromosomes don't lie. When you are conceived, God conceives you in the womb as male or female, XY male or XX female, and nothing in the world you do to the outside of your body can change that. The sooner a person receives the truth, believes the truth, accepts the truth of who they are, and it's not hard to figure it out. 3 and 4 and 5 year old kids know the difference between a boy and a girl. It's not hard to figure it out. Back in the day, before we did blood tests to figure out what the sex was, they would deliver the baby. We don't know what the baby is. Debbie and I didn't find out what the sex of our baby was until Jill was born. We just wanted to be surprised, and the baby comes out, and it's not a big guessing game. It's like, okay, that's a girl or that's a boy. It's very, very obvious. But we live in a world today of lies. And, the devil is the father of lies. Jesus said about him, as he was arguing back and forth in John chapter 8 with the Jewish religious leaders, they said, well, we have Abraham for our father. He said, listen, you are of, I added the listen, he didn't really say it like that, but he said, you are of your father, the devil. You're not Abraham's children. He's not your father. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning. Jesus knew they wanted to murder him. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. The devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he is the greatest liar, the most crafty and subtle and successful liar, the most believable liar. And the devil will take things and he'll take truths and he'll turn half-truths into whole truths. And when a half-truth becomes a whole truth, that half-truth becomes a lie. Jesus is full of grace and truth. Here's an example. Jesus is full of grace and truth. What's the lie? Jude chapter 1, verse 4. They turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only master, the Lord Jesus Christ. They take the fact that Jesus is full of grace and truth, they leave off the truth. They just take the grace and they go hyper with the grace, and they turn that grace into a license to sin and deny our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's how the devil works. You know, he doesn't come at us with something just way out in left field. He just goes incrementally, little by little by little. You know, a clock that's 5 minutes wrong is much more dangerous than a clock that's 5 hours wrong, because a clock that's 5 hours wrong is pretty obvious that it's wrong. So the devil doesn't come at us with obvious things. He comes at us with subtle things. You see in the garden how he beguiled Eve. He just asks questions. The economy of words, too, because he is very smart. And the greatest angel that God made was Lucifer, the star of the morning. He became Satan, the father of the night. But he is very crafty in how he does it. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden? When God had said, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but there's just one tree you can't. He flips that on its head. And he said, you see all these trees? God made those and said, you can't eat from all these trees. Tries to paint God in a negative light. And then when he tells Eve, she says, well, from any tree of the garden we may eat, but from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we cannot eat from it or touch it lest we die. And Satan, bold-faced lie, you shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So he gives a bold-faced lie. Listen, God is not telling you the truth, Eve. You're not going to die. What is going to happen when you eat of that tree is you're going to be like God. Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful to be like God, knowing good and evil? Now you think about it. This is the subtleness of it. Now, bold-faced lie, you shall not surely die, because God said you would. But the subtleness of it is you're going to be like God. And it is good to want to be like God. 1 John chapter 3 says, it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Philippians chapter 3 says he's going to transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory through the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. And so it's a good desire to want to be like God. It's a perverted desire to want to replace God, to be your own God, and so you don't need to depend upon God. God wants us to be like him, but he doesn't want us to be independent of him. And that was the temptation. And Eve ate of the fruit. She believed the lie, and it catapulted the world, as Adam ate too, catapulted the world into darkness and separation from God. We're talking about the truth in a world of lies. How do you live in a world of lies? How do you live when evil men and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived? The only way you can do it is by knowing the truth and walking in the truth and living the truth and speaking the truth in love to a lost and dying world. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. You can hear From His Heart every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back. According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding. And preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they're trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget as they rescue over 200 babies' lives every single day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. So please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies' lives. So be generous. You will never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking about the truth in a world of lies. How do you live in a world of lies? How do you navigate that kind of society and that kind of culture where you don't know what to trust or who to trust, or when you see things online, when you get the news, how do I know if this is true or this is being spun in such a way to deceive me? Well, there's only one truth, and that is God's truth. God is true. He's abounding in loving kindness and truth. And so the Lord is true. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And so because the Lord is true, everything he says is true. It's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6:18. And Jesus said in his great high priestly prayer, he's praying for his followers, for his disciples, and for those who would believe afterwards. So he's praying for you and me. And he says to his Father, John 17:17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So the Lord is truth, and the word, his word is truth. And we can believe the Bible. As Peter said, we didn't follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his glory. For when he received honor from God the Father, such an utterance was made to him on the mountain, such an utterance as this was made to him on the holy mountain when we were with him on the holy mountain. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And we ourselves heard this utterance. He says, I'm an eyewitness. He said, know this, first of all, no prophecy of Scripture was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And we have God's word. It's God-breathed. All Scripture is inspired by God. How do you combat the lies? You have to have a daily intake of the truth. The Bible is our food for our soul and spirit. It's the milk of the word. Long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow with respect to salvation. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, it's our bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's our meat. It's our solid food. Hebrews 5:14 says that solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Listen, if you're not spending time in the word of God, you're a sitting duck for the deceiver. And the scripture says in Revelation chapter 12, talking about the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He is the master deceiver. And one of the things that he's using in our world today is he's trying to get people to believe that there is no such thing as absolute truth. Objective, absolute truth. He tries to throw everything in the subjective category. And what is subjective truth? That's when you hear things like people say, well, let me share my truth. So there's my truth, your truth, his truth, her truth. And everybody has a truth. It's just all subjective. It's all, well, the truth is in the subject. Objective truth means the truth is in the object, has nothing to do with the subject, has nothing to do with what you feel about it. You, the subject, meaning you have feelings. Well, as Ben Shapiro used to always say, hey, facts don't care about your feelings. 2 + 2 = 4. You may want to say that that's racist and that's terrible and that's horrible. It just is. That's the way it's set up. I was at a college campus and we had a panel discussion with some of the students, and there was myself and some other guys from other churches. They were talking about religion in the public square, and I shared my testimony. I thought, this is a great opportunity to share my testimony on the college campus. And I remember this one guy asked me a question, and something to the effect of, well, why does it have to be that way? You know, it was about whether you go to heaven or hell. Why does it have to be that way? And I said, well, it's just because that's the way God set it up. You know, why does gravity have to be that way? Well, it just is that way. Why is the sky blue and the grass green? Well, I may not know the answer, but I know that that is just the way God did it. And so, you know, if you don't like it like that, you're free to create your own universe. But the only problem is you don't have the power to do that. And so we have to live within the parameters that God set up. And God set it up to be wonderful. Now, it's a fallen universe that we live in, a fallen earth, but it's still wonderful. You know, you go to different parts of our world and you see some beautiful, beautiful things. You can see just outside your front door, you can see a beautiful sunrise, a beautiful sunset. God made wonderful things. And if it's so beautiful here, as one little girl told her dad, she said, Daddy, they were looking at a sunset and it was just gorgeous. And she said, Daddy, if it's so beautiful this side of heaven, what do you think it's going to be like in heaven? And it really is. And God has allowed us to see wonderful, wonderful things. But here's the thing. The devil tries to make truth subjective. And he only has one absolute. He says that the only thing that you can be absolutely sure of is that there are no absolute truths, which is a self-defeating statement, because that's an absolute statement. And if there are no absolutes, then that statement doesn't exist. But he will try and tell people that. And so it's like, well, that's your truth. You believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. That's your truth. Well, no, it's true. It's a fact of history. All the evidence shows that that is a truism, that Jesus Christ really did live, that Jesus Christ really did die, that Jesus Christ really did rise. Now, you can't prove that in the laboratory. You can't prove any event in history in the laboratory like you can prove the law of gravity or something like that. You know, you can go anywhere in the world and the law of gravity works. Mathematics, anywhere in the world, 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't equal 3. It doesn't equal 5. It doesn't equal 3.9. It doesn't equal 4.1. It equals 4. And that is true no matter who you are, no matter where you are. But when it comes to history, you have to look at the evidence. What does the evidence that we have show? What do people say about it? What did eyewitnesses say about it? And when you look at all the evidence, as one song said, I can't get past the evidence. And you look at all the evidence and you say, well, the only plausible conclusion from all the evidence is that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, that tells you that everything he said is true. He was the one that said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And so it gives validity to everything that he said. Hey, we can trust the word of God. And that is the way you combat the lies. You have to be grounded in the truth. So objective truth, absolute truth, that's how you have to live your life. The subjective truth, what you want it to be, your feelings about something, your personal opinions. Somebody tweeted out the other day, when truth is based on feelings, it always changes. But when it's based on God and His Word, it never changes. Because as the Scripture says, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. I heard Piers Morgan was interviewing a pastor, and he said, do you think homosexuality is a sin? And he said, yes, I do. And he said, well, do you think that your opinion on that may evolve over time? Maybe 15 years from now, you'll change your opinion. He said, well, my opinion is based on the truth of the Word of God. So it's not just my opinion. It's not what I feel about it. It's what does God say about it. So it's not going to change. And that person was Joel Osteen, and he's not known for speaking the truth in love. He's just known for placating people, but he did do well. He got a gold star in my book for saying that to Piers Morgan. And he bases, the issue of homosexuality, bases it on the Scripture. Give a contrast, so T.D. Jakes was on a talk show, and they asked him about homosexuality. And he said, well, my views are evolving on that subject. Well, if you're rooted in the Scripture, which is the only truth, God and His Word are truth, your views don't evolve. God's views don't evolve. Some people say, well, you know, when it comes to homosexuality, you throw out Leviticus. Leviticus, the holiness code in Leviticus, which is so crystal clear. If a man lies with another man, as he would with a woman, it is an abomination. Well, it couldn't be more clear what God thinks about that. And they say, well, that's Old Testament. That's holiness code. We're not under the Old Covenant. We're under the New Covenant. The moral standards in the Old Covenant didn't get erased in the New Covenant. The Ten Commandments, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, honor your father and mother, those are brought over into the New Covenant. The vertical commandments, you shall have no other gods before me, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, you shall not worship idols. Those things came forward. The only thing that's different in the Ten Commandments is the commandment about the Sabbath. And the Sabbath in the New Testament, the early church began to worship on the first day of the week, not the last day of the week. And so we still have a Sabbath rest, but it is on Sunday, the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, as the Scripture calls it, the day of Christ's resurrection, and not the last day of the week, the Saturday, the Sabbath day. So, all that to say, the devil uses the lie that truth is subjective to win people over, and he will tell them things they want to hear. You know, when the devil came at Jesus in the garden or in the desert, he showed him all the kingdoms of this world in a moment in time, and he said, all this has been given to me, and I am free to give it to whomever I wish, and I'll give it to you if you will just bow down and worship me. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, you shall worship the Lord only, and him only shall you serve. He responded every time with the devil's temptations. He responded with the Word of God. Now, the thing that makes that very, very interesting and important for you and me, Jesus is God. Everything he says is the Word of God. But he went back to what has already been written for your sake, for my sake, to let us know that's how you do battle with the devil, with the sword of the Spirit, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, to do battle with the enemy. Here is what I want you to glean from that. When the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of this world, and he said, I can give those to you. I give them to whoever I want. I'll give them to you. Well, there's something natural in a human heart that would love to have the trophy without the sweat. We'd love to have the victor's crown without putting in the blood, sweat, and tears to win the battle. And the Lord does have all the kingdoms of the world belong to the Lord, but he first had to go through the cross. And Jesus divested himself of everything. Philippians 2, he laid aside all those things that were innately his as God to become a man, and he had to suffer. It was necessary for him to suffer. And the temptation the devil was giving him is, you can bypass all the suffering, Jesus. You don't have to go to the cross, Jesus. You just bow down and worship me. You just do that little thing, and I'll give all these things to you. Well, we live in a world today where people buy into that lie. It's called the prosperity gospel. And you hear preachers from coast to coast talking about the prosperity gospel. And as Trinity Broadcasting Network and other networks have broadcasted that out into the other countries in third world countries, they have adopted that. And they say, well, I guess that's Christianity. It's just health and wealth and prosperity and promotion and good things. You know, when the Apostle Paul, before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, and early in his Christian experience, when he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he was struck with blindness, and the Lord came to Ananias and said, go to a street called Straight, and there you will see a man named Saul of Tarsus, and I want you to pray for him. He's been struck with blindness. And Ananias didn't want to go because he knew Paul had a reputation, Saul of Tarsus. He hates Christians, he hates Jesus, and he is a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. And the Lord said, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And right off the bat, Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle, knew the Christian life is a life filled with suffering, the fellowship of his sufferings, Philippians chapter 3. The devil's lie is that we can bypass all the suffering. We can just get the health and wealth and promotion and good things and trouble-free living. And who doesn't want that? Every lost person wants that. And they don't want suffering. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you must take up your cross daily and follow after me. You must die to yourself. You must surrender yourself to me. Not my will, but yours be done, Lord. And we repeat what Jesus said in the garden. And we trust in the Lord with all our hearts, and we don't lean on our own understanding. Listen, truth is not subjective. Truth is objective. Truth is absolute. And if you're living your life and you're not living it in the truth, if it's not anchored to God's reality, you are in for a rude awakening, because there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we'll open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about how to live in a world of lies. 2 Timothy 3:13, but evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deception and lies are all around us, and the only truth, the only true north is the Lord and His Word. And so Jesus is the way and the truth. He's full of grace and truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. It is impossible for God to lie. And so the Lord is true, and His Word is true. And the only way we can stay grounded in truth as God has set it up, this is my Father's world, as the song says, is we have to know the truth of the Word. Now, I remember talking to my aunt. She is gone now, and my uncle, I was very close to both of them. My uncle was Jewish, and I had just become a Christian about a year or so. They lived in California. We lived in Texas, and I wanted to go see them, and so I saw them. I wanted to witness to my uncle. Well, he wasn't very open to me witnessing to him, and I remember talking to my aunt. She was Catholic, and he was Jewish, and I said, well, what do you think is going to happen to Harry when he dies, Uncle Harry? And she said, well, I just think that heaven is a place for all good people. And your uncle is a good person, and so I just think he'll go to heaven. And I said, well, where does it say that in the Bible? I mean, what are you basing that on? If that were true, then why did Jesus come at all? What's the point? And she didn't have an answer for that. She just created something out of her own mind, something that sounded good to her. Proverbs 14:12, 16:25, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, when those guys signed up to fly the airplanes into the Twin Towers on 9/11, September 11, 2001, there was a handwritten note that they found in Arabic that assured these guys about a dozen times that if they did this, they would go straight to paradise. And the hadith, which are the sayings and the words and the actions of Muhammad, he promised in this particular hadith that there would be 72 virgins waiting for them in paradise. Those guys believed a lie. There's a way which seems right to a man. Well, they had been taught, okay, this is right. This is what's in store for you if you enter into this mission, this jihad, to destroy America, the great Satan. And they did it. Well, they believed a lie. Its end is the way of death. And that's the ultimate fail. That's for all eternity. And so you have to ask yourself this question when we talk about how to live in a world of lies. What are you basing your life on? What are you basing your beliefs on? I have these conversations with people back and forth. As our announcer said, you know, if you want to contact me, just go to Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. And I see all those emails. They come in. And if you connect with me on Twitter, at Jeff Shreve, it's not called Twitter anymore, it's called X, at Jeff Shreve, J-E-F-F-S-C-H-R-E-V-E. I see those, and I respond to those. And this one guy was going back and forth with me, and I said, well, what do you base what you believe on? I said, I base everything that I believe in the Scripture. What do I believe about God? It's based on the Scripture. What do I believe about Jesus? It's based in the Scripture. What do I believe about heaven, about hell, about how a person goes to heaven? It's all based on the Scripture. It's not based on, well, I think it should be like this. It's not just my opinion. I was watching an interview with Jordan Peterson, and somebody was asking him and saying, well, that's your opinion. You just, why do you think this? What's your opinion about this? He said, it's not my opinion. It's what the studies show. My opinion has nothing to do with it. I'm just telling you, this is what the studies show. These are the facts. And your opinion, your feelings about them, it doesn't matter. Facts don't care about your feelings. Now, do you remember the bumper sticker that was around some years ago? And it said this, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. There was actually a song, God said it, I believe it, that settles it for me. There was a song that was out. But the bumper sticker, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Well, here's the one thing wrong with that bumper sticker. God said it, that settles it. Whether you believe it doesn't make a difference. The truth is the truth, whether you believe it or not. And truth is truth, even if the whole world rejects it. And lies are lies, even if the whole world believes it. Because what God said, God is eternal, and his word is settled forever in heaven, and that is the truth, and it will come to pass just as the Lord said. As Solomon, when he dedicated the temple, he said, Lord, not one word of your good promise has failed. Because God is trustworthy, it's impossible for God to lie. When Jesus comes back, Revelation chapter 19, he is called faithful and true. You can trust him. And so we have to build our lives on the truth of the Word of God. There's a musical group. I'm trying to get them on the program. Musical group from yesteryear called Farrell and Farrell. They used to be popular from 1977 to 1991. And they had a song called Find It in the Word. Here are the lyrics. People liberation is a big sensation. We hear ways to be free every day. Occults are growing. They're all knowing they claim to have a better way. With so much written and so much said, it's hard to know just what to do. But there's one place I can tell you for sure that you can always find the truth. You've got to find it in the Word, my brother. Find it in the Word. Makes no difference what you've heard. You've got to find it in the Word. That's why I always encourage our church when I preach, hey, check me out. I give you sermon notes. I have scripture references in there. Check me out. Make sure that what I'm saying is true. Acts 17:11, but these were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, the Bereans, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. They examined the scripture to see what Paul was telling. Paul, the great apostle Paul. Can you imagine? Paul comes to your church and preaches, and you're saying, I'm going to check you out, Paul. I'm going to make sure that what you say matches up with scripture. And that's a good thing. And so you always want to take what a teacher says, and you go and you study, and you see what does the Bible say. I tell people that with regard to baptism, because when we have our membership class and people come to join the church from different denominations, and maybe those that practiced infant baptism, or they practiced baptism at a particular age and it was sprinkling. And so we say, listen, you study the scriptures. Here's what the Bible says. Baptism, baptizo, means to immerse. And we immerse people after they have trusted Christ, because that's how it is done in the Bible. That's how it's taught in the Bible. It's not a minor thing. See, if you blow that off and say, well, that's just a minor thing, it doesn't really matter. It's like, well, why would you not want to do it the way the Bible says to do it? It's just like the women in ministry, women in the pastorate situation. It's very clear. It's not to be that way. And some people say, well, that's a church secondary issue, a tertiary issue. It's not really that important. It clearly says don't do that in Scripture. So why would you want to go against what God says to do? Because once you go down that road, it's Katie bar the door. Well, the phone lines are open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to talk to you as we're talking about this subject, how to live in a world of lies, the truth in a world of lies. And we have our friend Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to the program.
Yes, Pastor, I thank you for your stand. You know, God's Word does not evolve, because if it did, that would mean that God didn't get it right the first time. We teach our kids relativism in school, that there is no absolute rights. And it is a sad time that I'm a veteran, that you cannot believe a thing on the newscast. And I really appreciate AFA and the speakers on AFA, because I can trust them, because I know what the Word of God says, and they always line up, you always line up with the Word of God. And I like somebody that speaks the same thing. You know, you talk about Joel Osteen. I'm glad to hear that, because I heard him on Larry King and Oprah Winfrey say that homosexual lifestyle would not keep people out of heaven. And so, you know, it causes confusion amongst people, right, when you flip-flop. But I do appreciate you, and I appreciate AFA, and the truth is in the Word of God. It says, sanctify us by thy truth, thy word is truth. And make sure you're reading a good version of the Bible. I've heard you say that before. You had a program on that. Mm-hmm. And bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Lee. Yeah, okay, so going, just digging a little deeper on the Joel Osteen. So he did say that he thought it was sin, but then he quickly says, but other things are sin too. Pride is a sin, and envy is a sin, and lust is a sin. And so he just tries to whitewash all that. And so I think for him personally, he says, yeah, homosexuality is sinful, but Do I believe that will keep you out of heaven? No, just like, you know, he just kind of, sweeps all that stuff under the rug. So he's definitely not doing anybody any favors. I shared yesterday, I said, listen, when you see somebody walking toward a cliff, and they're getting closer and closer. You want to scream at that person, you need to stop. You need to turn around. If you keep going in the direction you're going to die. And you don't just kind of whisper, hey, you might want to consider this. When it gets down to the nitty gritty, you need to have enough passion and enough love in your heart, because speaking the truth in love, you need to love that person enough to tell them the truth. Because if you pat them on the back as they're walking toward the cliff, you're not loving them. And anybody who will lie to you is not, he hates you. I heard that quote from Victor Hugo. He said this, men hate those with whom they have to lie. And we live in a world of liars, and because of the times that we are in, most people's love grows cold, and that's the world in which we live. Well, thank you, Lee. God bless you, my brother. We have our friend Raul on the line from Texas. Raul, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Shreve. I really appreciate your program. I grew up as a Catholic, and when I start to learn more about the Bible, I fell away from the Catholic teaching. But yet I have family members that are hardcore Catholics and have been. But they never read their Bible. They just go to Mass on Sunday. And, you know, the Catholic Church has so much bad history. And not only the history, present today, they have, you know, I don't see people speaking up against the Catholic Church and some of their teaching. They don't even teach salvation. Yeah. You have to be a Catholic and baptized. And, you know, those are my comments. I don't just, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a big concern. You know, I grew up Catholic, and so I never heard the gospel. It's in there, but it's buried in there with all sorts of ritual and you know, you go to confession, and what do they tell you to do? It's all works-based. You will go and say 10 Hail Marys. Go and say 10 Our Fathers. You know, it's just all these things. You're just checking boxes. And I never heard about being born again. I never heard that, hey, you're a sinner, and you're lost, and you're on the highway to hell, and you desperately need to turn around to repent and believe. I never heard that message. And I think that's because they believe the lie that, you know, when you're baptized at 2 weeks, that baptism as a little baby, that takes away original sin, that takes away your sin, and so it doesn't. The Bible never teaches that, and the Bible teaches in John 3, as Jesus looked straight in the eyes of Nicodemus, the most moral man on the planet, as far as a human being, at least in that class of moral men, and he said, you must be born again. If you're not born again, Nicodemus, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. You're not going to enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. And Nicodemus didn't understand what that meant until, as we read about him in the John chapter 19, he was one that came with Joseph of Arimathea to request the body of Jesus. And he obviously understood at that point. But yeah, I think it's a big, big concern. And it's difficult when you're in the Catholic Church, because you get just swallowed up in all the ritual. And, you know, I'm okay because I'm Catholic. Listen, you're Catholic, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, doesn't matter. You must be born again. And so we keep speaking the truth in love, Raul, and with our Catholic family members and friends, we keep pointing them to Jesus as the only way of salvation. Well, God bless you, my brother. Thank you for calling in, and thanks for listening today to Real Truth for Today. For tomorrow, Kirby Anderson will be with us in the studio. He is the host of Point of View Radio, and we're going to have a lively and wonderful discussion. Hey, go out today, speak the truth in love, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you. He wants to use you this day. That's all we have to live, this day. He wants to use you this day as his witness. So go witness for Jesus. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.